Good morning. Welcome to this session on freedom from bondage. In this session, I would like to talk about forgiveness. I'll be talking about the importance of forgiveness, its benefits. I'll also be briefly talking about unforgiveness and the consequences of not forgiving others. And then at the end, we will do a practice session on forgiving. Forgiving others has a direct relationship to our well-being, whereas unforgiveness or our refusal to forgive others will have a detrimental effect on us. I know some people experience strong emotions when they hear a teaching on forgiveness or when forgiveness is discussed, and a firm no resounds in their minds. If any of you feel that way, I would request you to be patient and listen to the whole teaching. And at the end of the teaching, you'll be glad you listened. Let me begin by saying that forgiving others brings healing to your body and mind. This may surprise some of you, but this is true. Forgiveness sets you free from many emotional issues in your life. Since forgiveness is so important for your physical and mental health, the Bible talks about it in much detail. In several places in the Bible, God talks about forgiveness. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave much emphasis to forgiveness, and he taught about it. In one occasion, one of the disciples of Jesus asked him a question. Lord, how many times I should forgive my brother? And the Lord said, as many as times he does something against you. And then the Lord told the group of disciples a parable to teach them about forgiveness. This narrative is found in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. In order to save time, we are not going to read the whole passage. Rather, I'll give you a summary of it. However, I recommend that you take the time to read the entire passage in your Bible. In this parable, a servant owed his king a lot of money. And when it was time for him to return the money to the king, he begged for more time to repay the debt. But the king knew that this man would never be able to return the money. It was a huge sum of money. So the king chose to forgive him. He showed mercy and canceled the debt. This servant then went out of the palace, and on his way, he found a fellow servant who owed him a small amount of money. And he grabbed this servant and he demanded the money back. In fact, he grabbed him by the neck and demanded the money to be returned immediately. Although the other servant begged for mercy, the first servant did not relent. He had that servant arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Then later, the king came to know about it, and he called his servant and said to him, "You evil servant, I forgave you that huge debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the king, in his anger, sent this servant to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Now, this story is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. God the King chose to forgive each one of us since none of us had the ability to pay the debt of sin. Our debt was huge, and because of that debt, we lived in bondage to sin and Satan. God could have left us in that miserable condition, but his mercy would not let that happen. So he freely forgave each one of us. Now he expects us to show mercy to others just as he had shown mercy to us. Although this parable found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18 talks about money the servant owed his master, the subject of the parable is not money or canceling financial debts. It is not always money or material things that others owe us or we owe someone. Forgiveness is not about canceling financial debts. People owe each other a lot more than money or possessions. It is true that people, both believers and unbelievers, do hurt us through their unkind words and actions, or I should say thoughtless actions. To be hurt means to have experienced heartache or sorrow. And when you're hurt, it means you have experienced a heartache, you experienced sorrow, you experienced pain in your heart. As you know, sorrow and pain cannot be canceled or settled with money. For example, someone might have accused you of something. Someone might have questioned your motive behind a certain action or a case. Someone might have insulted you or made fun of you publicly or privately. Someone might have abused you physically, mentally, or sexually. Someone might have cheated you or betrayed you. Someone might have implicated you in a crime. Someone might have gossiped about you. It could be anything, anything that brought pain to your heart. Any of these experiences would have caused an unimaginable pain and sorrow. And every time such a thing happens, our heart is broken. And some people even sink into a state of depression when such things happen to them. Some lose confidence, and some people avoid others as a result of this. So as a result of the sorrow, as a result of the hurt, and as a result of the pain in the heart, we harbor resentment, anger, bitterness, fear, or hatred towards those who hurt us, or those who cause that pain or heartache. The memories of what someone did or said linger on to us, and we are subjected to the trauma of seeing the visuals of the very incidents in our minds every time we are alone or every time we are just quiet. With every replay of the incident, our quest for justice or urge for revenge increases, because we hold those who hurt us responsible for our miserable condition. We believe such people owe us a great deal. They are our debtors, aren't they, in our thinking. We hold them responsible for the joy, peace, and self-dignity we have lost and the shame we have experienced. Although the world teaches that time will heal everything, such healings never happen. Now, why healing is important? Healing occurs when wounds of your heart are properly treated. When there is an open wound in your body, you do not ignore it, do you? You would immediately visit a doctor and receive proper treatment. If you choose to ignore the wound, the consequence can be disastrous. Your body will be subjected to further infection, as germs can come and settle on a wound that is not properly dressed. You might have noticed how the common houseflies are attracted to an open, untreated wound. In the same manner, demons are attracted to the open wounds of your mind that are not treated or dressed. Wounds that are not treated or dressed. Once they get an entry into your lives, they will ensure that the wounds in your heart remain raw. As a result, you will live in continuous pain and sorrow. And this is a demonic strategy to keep you in bondage. So what is the remedy? In the second epistle to the church in Corinth, Paul confidently said, "We are not ignorant about Satan's scheming or his devices." This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He said, "I don't want Satan to outwit us. After all, we are not ignorant about Satan's scheming." This means the first century believers were aware of satanic schemes or strategies, and Paul exhorted them not to be outwitted by the enemy. This verse is set in the context of a discussion about forgiving a sinner or a wrongdoer. And Paul asked the church, members of the church, to forgive that sinner or the wrongdoer. Paul asked the church to forgive that person because Paul knew that if they did not, the enemy would have got a chance to enter into their lives and put them all in bondage. And I believe the believers were aware of the schemes of the enemy. So this is how the enemy works. First, the enemy will cause some people to hurt you through their words or actions. Then you will find yourself entrapped in various emotions that I described earlier. Paul recommended forgiveness as a remedy for release from bondage or the entrapment the enemy places in our lives. As I said earlier, your heart yearns for justice because you hold the wrongdoer responsible for your pain or sorrow or misery. You really want justice. You long for justice. and you will not be satisfied until justice is granted. So what happens is you become the judge and you begin to execute judgment. You hate those who hurt you. You're angry. You're bitter. And you resort to gossip and you try to malign those people. But none of this yield desired result. You continue to live a miserable life. And in reality, your life remains hooked to those individuals who hurt you. A considerable amount of your time and your thoughts are directed to those people and the incidents connected to them. When you choose to forgive someone, you release the wrongdoer or sinner to the Lord for judgment. You're no longer hooked to that person. When you forgive, you make a firm decision to detach yourself from those bad experiences and the people connected to those bad experiences. Forgiveness is trusting God, the righteous judge, to deliver justice to you. Through the process of forgiving, you authorize God to be the judge in your case. By forgiving, you break free from bondage. So when God asks you to forgive others, He's not justifying the other person's behavior. He's not denying the fact that you were hurt. Forgiving others does not mean you will forget the offense immediately. Forgiveness actually acknowledges the hurt and the need for healing. When you forgive, you not only obey the commandment of God to forgive one another, but you also are healed of the pain and you're released from bondage. In other words, forgiveness actually brings healing and deliverance in your life. It may not immediately cause any visible change in those who wronged you. It does not mean you have to tell the person you have forgiven him or her, unless he or she comes to you seeking forgiveness. Now, if you do not forgive, you will remain in bondage. In the parable that we discussed earlier, parable from Matthew chapter 18, the Lord said, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. If you choose not to forgive someone by trusting God, you will continue to live in pain, sorrow, and bondage. You will continue to be tormented by demons. Your condition will only worsen as you will continue and even step up your attack on the wrongdoer. You'll resort to criticism, accusation, and gossip, and you may resort to different methods to malign those people. And you will live under a deception, believing you are doing the right thing and you are helping others by simply speaking the truth about this wrongdoer, about this person who hurt you. Remember, Satan can outwit or defeat us if we do not know his schemes. And what I have noticed and learned over the years is that Holy Spirit often impresses upon believers through teachings or songs about forgiveness, and sometimes He talks to them directly and tell them they need to forgive. This is because God wants us to get rid of all the bitterness, anger, and hatred, and every other negative emotion that people hold in their hearts. And God wants them to leave the culprit or the person who hurt them in God's hands. When God moves in your spirit in this way, demons usually bring to you the vivid memories of the hurt or harm. He will try to replay those incidents in your heart. And when that happens, you feel that pain all over again and you refuse to let go of your bitterness. You will immediately say in your mind, "I can't forgive. I will not forgive." If you have heard or read teachings about forgiveness and went through a similar experience that I described, do not be disappointed. This time you will be able to forgive. Now I will briefly explain to you how to forgive others. And then I want you to take the time and forgive those who have hurt you. I want to tell you this first. Forgiving others may seem a little difficult, but it's not impossible. It's possible. Please remember, God will not ask you to do something that you cannot do. Besides, He will gladly grant you the grace you need to forgive others. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says, God was in Christ, making peace between the world and himself. In Christ, God did not hold people guilty for their sins, and he gave us this message of peace to tell people. So, if God forgave our huge debt, should we not forgive others their debts? Now, you cannot forgive others simply by praying some nicely worded prayers or simply reciting or declaring a few scriptures. You and I need the help of the Holy Spirit in order to forgive someone from our hearts. Therefore, before you begin this practical session on forgiveness, please ensure that you have some time to spare and that you are not in a hurry. I want you to take some time now and consider the steps that I'm going to describe and then do it. And those of you who are listening to this on a tape or on a podcast, I would say if you're in a hurry, if you have a train to catch or a flight to catch immediately after you listen to this, or if you're listening to this tape while you're traveling, after you reach your destination or after you return home, take some time to do this practice session. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to sit at a quiet place and pray in the Spirit for a while. This will help you to be stirred up in your spirit. And if you have not received your prayer language through Holy Spirit baptism yet, do not worry. You can do that without Spirit language also. Just remember, forgiveness is a free will decision. I want you to remember this. Forgiveness is a free will decision. Your emotions may run wild while you try to take a decision to forgive. Tell the Lord you're ready to forgive others and ask Him to help you. And when you ask God to help you, Holy Spirit will always help you in this matter. Become quiet and allow Him to bring to your mind the person that you need to forgive at this time. And when a name pops up in your mind, or when you see the image of a person in your mind, tell the Lord you want to forgive and ask Him to give you the grace. Grace is the power or the strength that you need for that particular situation or action. And He will gladly grant you. Remember, grace is always free. And then, using your own words, release that person to God for judgment. It is always good to speak out words of forgiveness and hear them with your own ears. At this point, you may experience some resistance because those hurtful events of the past will be very likely replayed in your mind, bringing vivid memories of the hurt or harm. Demons may try to speak to you at this point, reminding you the pain and the humiliation you were subjected to. Declare your soul to obey God and forgive the wrongdoer. Demons will back off. After you have forgiven the wrongdoer, after you have forgiven the person whose name popped up in your mind or whose image you saw in your mind, speak a word of blessing over him or her. And just remember, when you forgive that person, you released him to God for what he or she did to you. You are no longer hooked to that person. And if you have spoken against or accused or gossiped about this person, please confess them before God. So these are the simple steps that you may follow to forgive others. Now I want you to take about 15 minutes and repeat these simple steps. And each time a person comes to your mind or an incident comes to your mind, forgive the person or people behind that. Forgive the people that are associated with it. And if you're listening to this teaching on a tape, please pause the tape at this point. Take sufficient time to complete this exercise. You will experience some form of freedom each time you forgive someone. Thank God. Thank Jesus the Lord for the freedom from bondage. My wife and I have seen people experiencing physical and mental healings as a result of forgiving the offending party. I believe you too have experienced similar healing after you forgave some people. And I believe you will continue to experience healing and freedom as you keep on forgiving people. I also believe that in the future, as you get into this exercise and every time you forgive someone, you will have similar healing and deliverance experience. You will experience tremendous freedom in your mind and you will be able to do the things you have not been able to do because of the bondage and because of the bitterness or resentment you have been carrying in your heart. And at this point, I want to tell you something. How would you know you have totally or completely forgiven a person? As I have said, forgiving somebody is not easy, but it's possible because God gives the grace. And sometime you may forgive a person, as I have explained in this teaching and the exercise, but you may still feel some bitterness or grudges against a person. And in that case, when you meet that person, or when his name or her name comes into your mind, or when somebody talk about that person, you will again experience that bitterness or anger or hatred. What that would mean is you have not completely forgiven that person. Even though you told the Lord you're forgiving, you have not really forgiven. And that can happen sometimes. So what you do in that case is you go to God again and you take a firm decision to forgive, and you ask God to give you the grace again, and then leave the person in God's hands and bless that person, as I've said earlier, and then ask God to heal your broken heart. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, the Lord Jesus said that I have come to heal the brokenhearted. So every time you go to God with a broken heart, He heals you. So ask the Lord to heal that broken heart. And once that broken heart is healed, it will be easy for you to forgive. And once you have forgiven a person totally, completely, you will know it, because if that person comes in front of you, or his name comes to your mind, or if somebody talks about him or her, or if you see their picture, your heart will not jump. Your heart will not have any difficulty. You will not experience any surge of emotions against that person. And that would tell you that you have totally forgiven. And once you have totally forgiven a person because of what he or she did to you, you will never again bring up the subject in your conversation. This would also tell you that you have forgiven. And if somebody discusses any of the incidents that happened to you, somebody that who knows you or one of your close friends talks about those incidents, you will have no interest to discuss about. You will rather have compassion towards that person who hurt you, knowing that he or she is actually a victim of the schemes of the enemy. So I just want you to know this. So please understand this, and please don't be disappointed if you experience negative emotions about some people after this exercise today or in the future. Just go back and repeat the exercise as I have explained, and then you will have total freedom. I want to talk a little bit more about forgiveness and freedom. Many people do carry pain of past wounds, not inflicted by anyone in particular. Let me explain this. Some of you might have had a bad childhood. Some of you were born in a poor family or in a lower caste or ethnic group. Who do you blame for your bad start? But the truth remains that you were hurt, bruised, and torn in your childhood. Some of the wounds are still there. Those scars have not been erased. Many believers still carry such pain. There's no one in particular to blame, and no one in particular to forgive. However, those who have had a bad childhood often wonder why God allowed them to be born in such and such family or caste or ethnic group. In other words, they hold God responsible for the mess in their lives. In such cases, believers never fully trust God as a caring Father. Although they intellectually believe in God's love, they cannot accept in their hearts that God is a great lover. They just cannot trust Him in the area of love. If you have heart wounds or pain which you know were not caused by any human agent, but then you need to forgive God. And you may ask, who am I to God? But the truth is, you are holding God responsible for your miserable condition. You need to release Him. And you can do this by simply saying, God, I always held you responsible for everything that happened to me from my birth or from my childhood. I had resentment towards you, but Lord, I forgive you and I accept your love. And I receive your word, which says, I am accepted in the Beloved. Now, some people would say, well, I have nothing to forgive. I'm fine. Well, that's a great news. That's a good news. If you don't have anything to forgive, and if you're doing fine, then there's nothing like that. If you have nothing to forgive, and if you're fine, then I would say praise God. That's very nice. But here is a self-check for the need for forgive, or for the need to forgive. Do you often speak bad words, or do you often complain? Do you speak words of bitterness, or do you always criticize others? If you do, there is unforgiveness in you. You need to deal with the root of it. It is possible that you're holding some people responsible for something and that you need to forgive them. Maybe you're holding someone responsible for something in your life, your failures, your disappointments. It could be some people you know, like your parents or a teacher or teachers of your school or college. It could be some unknown people like the local government or some other people in authority. It could be anyone. The fact that you have bitterness, hatred, or resentment in the heart indicates unforgiveness of your heart. I would urge you to go through the exercise that I discussed earlier. This will help you to forgive anyone that you are holding responsible for your miserable condition, and you will receive freedom from bondage. So thank you for listening to this. Thank you for being in this class today, and thank you for doing this exercise, and thank you those who are listening to this teaching in the tape for taking the time to listen and also for doing the exercise. I believe this class has been a blessing to you, and I believe you will experience tremendous healing and freedom from bondage as a result of your free will decision to forgive those who have caused harm or those who have hurt. God bless you.